I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards? Hello, everybody.
Hi there.
Welcome to episode 3.
Or 60?
No.
Okay.
This is episode 3 of our podcast.
Oh, okay. Yes, episode 3
of the podcast. Yeah, we're going to be watching technically episode 60 of some show.
Oh, yes.
But for our purposes, episode 3. And okay. We're on this journey, and we're wide awake this time.
I'm fully fueled, and I did work out, but I don't got the sleepies so bad.
I worked out. And I screened the entire time.
That's good.
Everyone in the gym was mad.
That's how you know you're doing it right.
That's how I know I was doing it right. I just did the thing again. I edited the last two episodes, and it's the first time I've listened to my voice for an extended period of time. And you hear all the things that you do that annoy the shit out of you. And one thing was every time Meg would say something funny, I would repeat it and then add my funny thing. And I put funny in air quotes. It just was so annoying after a little while. So I'm sorry, anyone who listened to episode 1, less so in episode 2. Apparently I subconsciously figured it out.
That's good.
So got some business to take care of up front.
Yes.
First things first. I wanted to say this in the last episode. Because these episodes are getting pretty granular. If you're listening to this podcast, maybe follow along. Like, watch it backwards with us. Text us about your experience.
Like, comment, and subscribe about your backwards experience.
Yeah. And be like, oh, I noticed that. Other bit of business, because I forgot to mention this last time, a coworker of mine watched an episode of American Dad. Mm. And they have a whole plot line in an episode where they watch Breaking Bad backwards.
Well, to be fair, I don't watch American Dad at all, so that could be our next one, is watching that backwards.
I'm not watching American Dad.
Forward or backwards?
I don't really like American Dad. I'm not the biggest Seth MacFarlane fan.
That's fair.
He's fine.
I have a friend who's like a story editor on American Dad. No, it's cool. I think Seth MacFarlane's pretty far removed now.
From yeah. That.
Yeah.
And he seems nice. Oh,
yeah. I'm not sure. Well, either way, we were not inspired by...
We had not seen that episode of that show that we have no takes on.
Yeah, there's just not much for us to say.
Obviously, I've met everyone who works on American Dad because I'm in the business.
We're both in the business.
So, that's egg on our face for not figuring that out. Someone should have told us.
I don't know why we're not automatically informed on all plots of all shows, just so we can say, oh, no, we have a creative project that's kind of similar to that. Please don't pursue that.
But enough about American Dad.
Fair.
We just watched Ozymandias, a Breaking Bad episode.
Yes.
Named after a poem. Mm. Have you heard that poem?
I haven't.
The thesis of the poem, it's like, it's a poem written from the point of view of, like, a king who was, like, the greatest king ever, but it's about someone reading it on an old dusty statue, and, like, clearly all that kingdom's been gone for years and years and years, and I think the theme they're trying to echo in the show is you can build something great, but eventually it's all going to be dust, I think.
I mean, that's fair. I think that this episode seemed to be showing how Walt is unraveling. It seems like a real point of his downfall. So I suppose that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get to it. We open up in the past.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was confused by this. I even said to you, I was like, is this a dream sequence? What's happening? Cause it was like, it seemed kind of disorienting. Yes.
And I let it pass. Breaking Bad doesn't fuck with dream sequences. They just don't. There just won't be any. I'm sorry. This is not The Sopranos, which is also pretty good.
I, again, didn't really watch The Sopranos. I was too young when it was on.
It's a good show. I'm friends with David, who created it.
Because we're in the business?
Because we're in the business. So I'm friends. And I I remember he showed me his pilot, and I was like, pretty good.
So you were about 8 when he showed you his pilot, right?
Yeah, I had no business reading that. It was dirty.
And you had a good hot take on it.
I thought it was...
You had some notes, though?
I had some notes. He trimmed it up, and it looks like he took a few of my notes, the few he needed, and he made something of himself.
Oh.
And that was good. That was good.
That's nice to have.
Good job, David Chase?
Sure.
I forget. I have a lot of contacts.
Yeah, yeah.
So I forget a lot.
There's a lot of Davids.
Yeah. So we open up, and we're in a RV.
In the middle of the desert.
Middle of the desert.
This is, off the bat, horny-ass episode. I just want to get that out of the way. We got...
Oh, this is a really horny episode. Yeah, we're really excited to talk about how horny this is.
Yeah, it's pretty horny. He's in his underwear.
Oh, yeah.
He's cooking meth, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he is just letting it all hang out.
Just sweat.
Yeah. Glistening.
And it's, like... I could feel my pulse in my ears the entire time. I could barely hear what they were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're in the RV. I don't know how they're not making out.
Yeah, because it's so horny.
Because it's so horny in there.
Yeah.
What was your take on it? This is about you. What is your take on what they were talking about?
So it seemed like the reason I thought it was a dream sequence at first was because I was like, well, how did they get from A to B by the end of this episode? How does he end up in some guy's basement? And then you said, that's not how this works. You sound like a fool. And I was like, oh.
Whoa.
You didn't say that I sounded like a fool, but you casually and kindly let me know that there's no dream sequences. And that made me think it was just a plain old flashback.
Well, for our purposes, a flash forward.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, Jesse seems like a kind of a pain in the ass. Walt seems like an adult man just trying to figure it out. And then he goes outside.
He talks to his wife.
And his wife seems to not hate him.
No smoking.
She was not smoking. She was pregnant, which might account for the not smoking.
People do it all the time.
I know, but maybe she was just being conscientious.
She probably was like, I should probably Google how to have a baby.
Yeah. They are making like family plans.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go up to some place and go for a family drive. He discusses the name of their baby.
Holly.
They think.
Did we know her name before?
I'm not necessarily sure.
Okay.
Holly seems pretty like innocent. I don't know how guilty a baby could be, but she seems like on a more innocent scale of babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then they kind of just talk about some bullshit.
Yeah.
And everything fades away.
And then
the credits.
And then there's fading to present day where
we meet Hank.
And Hank just got shot
in the leg.
Now, I've heard a lot about this guy being dead. This is the first time I've seen him alive. And I did not get to see him alive for very long.
No. Yeah. It was smart of Vince to kind of work up his legend before you actually see him.
So this is the star of the show, right?
I wouldn't say he's the star. He's a big part.
He's a big part.
I thought it was smart writing to be like, Hank's dead. And you're like, who the fuck is Hank? He must be important. Because if that wouldn't have happened, I'd have watched this episode and I'd have just been like, who's this fucking guy? But as soon as they said, that's Hank.
Yes.
I thought, oh, drama.
Definitely.
AMC, thank you for dipping your toe into original content. Because you've done a great job.
I thought that Hank bleeding from the leg was, he did a good job acting that.
Yeah, he was a good actor.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've seen a lot of bad actors. And
in Breaking Bad or just... Oh, you just mean in The Biz?
In The Biz.
Yeah, lots of bad actors.
There's a lot of bad actors out there. And it's frustrating and a slap in the face to the craft. And so it's cool. It's cool to see. Dean Norris is his name.
Oh.
Yeah. He was in Starship Troopers.
Did he get killed
small
there
part.
Too?
No. Was he in Starship Troopers or am I a total bullshitter? No, he was in there.
Okay.
He looks the exact same age.
That's good. Maybe he's one of those.
He's one of those guys, I think, who looked 40 when they were like 18.
That's good.
Yeah.
And
he's bald, so he's never gonna.
age.
Look different. He's going to die.
Yeah. Okay. I hope he's listening.
He's just one day going to die, and everyone's going to be like, he was fine yesterday.
I just saw him.
Just Father Time gave him too many winters, and now he's dead.
What?
He's great. He's just never going to age.
That's fair.
He's going to look the exact same forever and going to die.
He probably looked like that as a baby.
Yeah.
He just came out of the womb.
Definitely looked like that as a baby. He looks like a big baby.
Well, old man baby facer, no. He gets shot. This infamous Steve Gomez that I've heard of a couple times, he's already dead.
Yeah, you know, you don't get to see him.
He just is alive, or he just exists in the ether and shows up, materializes, he's dead.
For all we know, he's just in the show as a Weekend at Bernie's situation, and they've just been flopping his corpse around for the entire show.
So, yes, that's probably the case. It seems like that's going, but Vince would throw that in at this point in the series. And then guess who's shooting him?
Nazis!
Yeah, that's it.
Look out! There's Nazis over there!
And they've got a lot of guns.
They've got guns and takes.
It's hot takes.
Nazis got hot takes.
And they go to kill Hank, and then that's when a handcuffed Walt is like, oh, please don't, stop it.
How do you think he got those handcuffs on? Do you think he was just, you know, into some shit?
I mean, at that point, I just figured that they were probably meeting up to have kinky.
Right, yeah. That's why it's a really horny episode.
Yeah, it's a horny episode.
There's handcuffs. There's man in his underwear. There's a whole ton of men at the end of the episode that we'll get to.
Walt's like, please don't kill him. He's my family.
He's a nice boy.
He's a nice...
He gets really Italian. Yeah, really fast.
That's, yeah, the Italian definitely comes out in Walt.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Mickey, you got a bread.
Please don't kill him.
Don't kill him, brother-in-law.
He's a good brother-in-law.
He's a good boy, yeah.
Jesus Christ. And guess what? They were like, hey, why didn't you tell us your brother-in-law was a DEA agent?
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, oops, my bad. Please don't kill him.
And then,
yeah, he kills him. But not before Walt's like, hey, there's $80 million in the ground.
Oh, right.
I'll buy you off. And he's like, no, he kills him. And then they dig up the money.
Yeah, which is smart.
To dig up the $80 million.
Yeah, I mean, fuck this guy. they gave that. There's two points in the show I've had a problem with so far, and I had this when I originally watched it, which was, why the fuck did Jack give him a barrel just to have
as a plot device?
As a plot device. And same with, why the fuck does Jack care what he thinks? This is in the first episode. Why the fuck does Jack care that he doesn't think he's a liar and brings Jesse in there? He's like, see, I'm gonna show you, and then I'm gonna kill. I don't know.
I think this is my limited take on Jack. It seems like he's one of those guys who has that like false honor among thieves thing where he's like, no, I treated you good, I have honor. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair. He kind of like a shitty version of a cowboy.
Yeah, a little bit. Or even just like a Robin Hood-esque, but like with meth.
But a Nazi.
Yeah, a meth Nazi. That's my take. Like, if I had to say, no, this character flaw makes sense, because it is a flaw. Like, he's got so much pride, he doesn't want to be called a liar, and he doesn't want to leave this guy out in the middle of the desert.
But then, Waltz says, yeah, fine, I won't tattle, but you gotta kill Jesse, and he's right over there!
Yes, they couldn't find Jesse for the first, like, 20 minutes, and then he was just hiding under a Buick or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's sad. And then they were gonna kill him, but then they wanted to try to get some information out of him. But then what does Walt say to him before he gets in the car, Meg?
What does he say to him? Shoot.
He says he watched...
Oh, Jane?
Yeah.
He watched Jane die, and that he could have saved her, and that she choked on her puke.
Who's Jane?
Jane seems to be important to Jesse, and this guy just keeps getting dealt blows.
Jesse?
Oh, yeah. This is what I found confusing, was like he was all hot and bothered. And
the whole thing's going to be confusing. You're watching it wrong.
Well, to be fair, I think even watching it forward, I'd have a problem with it. Maybe just because I don't condone murder, but like he didn't want them to murder Hank. Like, why would he be okay watching Jane just die if he knew he could just like roll around to her side?
I know the answer, but I...
That's fair.
I mean, I'm trying to... What do you know? Well, I would say a big thing is that Hank's his family.
I understand
and
that.
And we don't know who Jane is.
Well, I mean, okay.
That's Jane could be Charles Manson.
I mean, that I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't stop Charles Manson from choking on his puke.
Charles Manson just died, right?
Recently.
Like a couple years ago?
But did he?
Obviously not.
Yeah.
Obviously not. Yeah. He's still around.
Ooh, I didn't lock my door before we came in here. Now I want to go lock my door. What if he's over there just playing the acoustic guitar or something?
He's
also a Nazi.
Yeah, I know. And he's a good musician.
Yeah.
He's not a good musician. They had his stuff on iTunes.
I've heard his songs and they're kind of like...
They're sad.
Cute. Yeah. No, they're just like, look at your game, girl. That's me singing. I'm a very good singer.
Yeah.
It's weird. Anyways, besides Charles Manson's songs, they take away Jesse, and Walt gets in his car.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, Gaslick.
Yeah, I was, again, kind of surprised that... a car could get shot in the tank and not explode because I've seen a lot of Mel Gibson movies.
Yeah, I was telling Meg when we're watching this, I'm pretty sure that doesn't like happen in real life.
I've never had the opportunity to find out.
Like a bullet itself doesn't make fire.
Okay, that's fair.
I feel like I'm mansplaining now.
I guess that's true. I didn't know if like you hit there's a lot of electronics in the car.
Yeah,
like, if you shot through
it. I guess
it
would
need
a spark, yeah.
But, and that's potentially... Okay, so it doesn't explode. Get, like...
I want to unpack this more.
We have to talk to a demolitions expert on this.
So tune in next week, we'll have a demolitions expert.
Let's find one. I really want to find
explain
one.
This for us. Yeah. Oh, and then let's take a big, quick detour to... Adam's date.
Oh.
I forgot we were supposed to talk about this.
Oh, what were we? Were we supposed to follow up on your date?
Yeah, remember I said I was going to...
Oh, you had a decent date?
Yeah, it's fine. I felt... So remember we ended the last episode by saying, like, hey, we had to reschedule this because I have a date.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was going to... We cliffhangered it.
Yes.
And so here's the resolution of that cliffhanger. It went fine.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the end of that.
Yeah, so that was good. I'm glad
once she was a real person, I was like, I don't want to talk about her on a podcast.
That's fair.
As an idea, it was more fun.
I applaud you for putting yourself out there and for meeting a person.
She was nice.
And not unpacking all your nice date stuff, which
I shouldn't.
Shouldn't do that.
I felt bad.
Well, that's the end of that.
That's the end of that segment. Whoop, Adam's date life.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, what happens? They're at the car wash now? At the car wash?
This is when I started cooking dinner, so I missed a little bit of this. But they're at the car wash, and then on the phone lady.
Oh, yeah, on the phone lady.
Who we know her name now.
Aunt Marie.
Aunt Marie comes in, and she says, like, hey, Flynn, can I talk to your mom? So it sounds like the shoe hasn't dropped yet for Skylar.
Yeah.
And she's like, Walt's in custody, and I'm going to tell everyone unless you... do something.
And that something was...
Tell your son.
And also give him all the DVDs of something. It was like...
Oh, right.
I don't know anything more about the DVDs, but she said they were to discredit Hank, so I'm thinking they made a sex tape with Hank.
Oh, I would watch that.
You like it that much?
I would watch that. Wow. This is our horniest episode ever, too.
It is. And I'm into it. I hope they only get progressively hornier from here. She has a conversation. She kind of forces Skylar to tell her son Flynn right there in the car wash that their dad's a bad, bad drug dealer man, mm-hmm. and that he's going to be arrested, mm-hmm. and the son is like, no way, not true.
I have to study for my test.
I have a big exam. How could you do this to me?
This exam is in 6 months.
And I've got to take it seriously. This is my future. This Why would you upset me?
I have flunked every other test. You know this.
How could you upset me?
How could you throw a wrench in my senior year? I'm trying to go to Brown.
And then they go home.
You didn't look care for that?
I didn't know how to yes and it, so I just continued the plot.
That was fun watching your face. So, okay. After the test subplot, yeah, they go home. Oh, Walt bought a car.
Oh, yeah. Walt pushed a whole drum full of money through the desert because his car ran out of gas. Mm-hmm. And this old man that lived in like a... in one of those houses that I see when I drive through the desert, but I only ever see when they're uninhabitable. And this time, this one was uninhabitable.
Oh, cool.
And it was inhabited by a man.
And Walt bought a nice truck from that man.
Yeah.
And then that truck is in their driveway.
Yes. And Skylar had driven her children home. One senior in high school, the other itty-bitty baby.
Baby with just the most pinchable cheeks.
Such a little baby pinchy facey. And she's like, what's going on with this truck?
She checked her planner and she goes, when did I buy a truck?
Carvano dropped off this?
I take copious notes about my week and I never bought a truck.
No, Flynn, is this your truck?
Flynn, did you buy a truck and not tell me?
He goes, no.
No, Mom. Gosh. And then he goes...
He's so embarrassed.
He's busy. I'm reading my Bazooka Joe comics.
Mom, embarrassing me. Stop.
And then she asks the baby.
And the baby goes...
I bought the truck.
And they're so like, we got to the bottom of that.
The baby bought the truck, which I think should have been on camera. I don't think that plot should have existed off screen.
But then it gets totally realigned with reality when Walt comes out.
It turns out it was Walt's truck.
Yeah, it turns out it was Walt's truck. Yeah. And he's got everybody's shirts that have been hanging
up. He's got a lot of shirts.
Tons of shirts. No underwear to speak of. And he's trying to convince everybody.
You don't eat underwear.
You don't. And he's trying to... all you wear is big, oversized shirts, then you really don't need underwear.
Worked for Winnie the Pooh.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Flynn is like, hey, Dad, stop being a drug dealer. And Skylar's like, where's Hank? And he's like, everything's fine. I got a deal. Let's get in the car.
I got a new job.
Yeah.
Everyone shut up.
And nobody would shut up, in fact.
It's kind of on Walt's side here.
Yeah. I was like, guys, listen to Walt. Let him just do what he says. Because he's trying to convince them to flee and nobody else is into it. And then Skylar decides that she's going to come at him with a knife.
I love that. So I don't know if you, I didn't point this out when we were watching it. You probably did in the flashback. Skylar's in the same spot where she picks up that knife when she picks up the phone call, and they have like the knife and the phone in frame, and she picks up the phone, and then later on it's almost the exact same shot, but this time she picks up the knife.
I guess I had more interpreted that as like she had two choices there. She could either pick up the phone and call the cops or pick up the knife and try to kill
I felt that too, but I also was like, oh, how far their relationship has fallen. Used to deal with her husband with the phone, and now...
Yeah, I guess. So is that the house they've always lived in? I thought they were in a different house.
She was in a different house in the first episode we watched.
Okay.
But that was, in the flashback, that was the same house.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
She comes at him with a knife and she slashes his hand. And I guess because he's so sick, that is the gouge that he has for the rest of the series. Because
does he have that in the next episode?
Yeah, he has it like to the his hand is wrapped up until the end of the until the finale.
Yeah.
So I guess
it was a deep wound.
But 6 months. I think it's because he has a blood clotting disorder something.
Probably. I am not a doctor. I told you that the first time we met.
That was the very first thing you said to me.
You were like, I think it was in at the Annoyance Theater in Chicago.
Yes.
And you said, hey, you were very funny. And I'm not a doctor!
That lines up with my memories.
I'm not! I yelled it.
And I was like, so we're going to do this rock opera about Jimmy Hoffa? And you went, I'm not a doctor!
I'm not a doctor!
I said, oh, okay. Thank you. I was going to have you look at a rash or something.
Mm-hmm. I look like a doctor.
You give a strong doctor vibes. Mm-hmm. Especially at that time when you were, 24.
Yeah, and I had shorter hair.
Yeah.
Doctors have shorter hair.
That's true.
And I have long hair.
You actually, the first time we met, I think you briefly said to me, because we were eating pizza, everybody was eating pizza, and I had said I had pizza for lunch, and now I was having pizza for dinner, and you said, I like double pizza days. And then you said, you never plan them, but they do happen, or something, and that's about all I said to you. We said to each other
for like 4 years.
Yeah, that was it.
You know what?
It worked.
I stand by that assessment.
It's the double pizza days are good, and they are never planned.
I found out here breakfast pizza is much less of a thing.
Mm.
Is that was that oh, that's not a thing in Illinois, is it? Or is it?
I'll eat pizza for breakfast if I have
like
it.
Breakfast. So Iowa, it's a big thing. Pizza, like a pizza with like eggs and bacon and cheese and sausage.
That was not a Chicago thing.
Oh, yeah. They have... Guys, if you are anywhere within spitting distance of a Casey's gas station, go there before 10 in the morning. Get a breakfast pizza. Call them. Order an entire breakfast pizza. You'll thank me. It's incredible. And it's my favorite thing I've ever put into my body.
Gas station breakfast pizza.
Don't say it like that.
I've been to Casey's.
Their breakfast pizza is divine.
I'll take your word for it. I never was at a Casey's before 10 a.m. I don't know when they start serving it.
I had an ex-girlfriend visit home with me, and I was so excited to show her. I was like, you gotta have Casey's. You gotta have it. And shame on me. I think she just was like, there's a lot of pressure for me to like this pizza. But shame on her a little bit, where she was like, this is fine. And I'm like, oh, you're a liar.
She could have been more excited.
But also shame on me. I really amped up the pressure to like that pizza.
There's certain things that I think are like regional specific foods that are just, you just grow up with. Like for me in Chicago, there's like a tuna melt. Like there's
that's fucking great.
But like the Midwestern tuna melts.
Oh yeah.
Like are very different than the shit you get out here. That's like, they have like grapes in the tuna salad and like onions and it makes me so upset, but it's like the ones back in the Midwest are perfect. Oh, my place is a little haunted. I'm sorry.
There's no way the mic picked that up.
There was a thud.
There's a thud outside. I think it was the house saying, you haven't talked about Breaking Bad in over 8 minutes. I don't know if it's been 8 minutes, but
Okay, we'll get back to Breaking Bad.
Where were we? I'm so lost.
She comes at him with a knife. He gets a gouge. And Flynn separates the two of them and clearly takes his mother's side and calls the police.
So there was a scene they cut out, or just like a line, that kind of changed the context of the scene. Because it looks like he's defending his mom by like getting the knife away from both of them and tackling. But there's it's just a close-up on him and he goes, oh, sweet, wrestling. And it kind of changes the timbre of the scene, and I thought it was a wise cut.
Yeah, because it definitely changes every character's motivation.
They're kind of doing the same thing, but it just makes him seem like he's excited to wrestle.
Yeah, I think that scene, because you had said during it that when Flynn calls the cops and says that his dad had attacked his mom, that was an unfair assessment.
Now I sound really bad.
No. Okay, so feel free to cut it. But I feel like she was defending...
She was defending herself.
But also, you're right in that, like, she was like, meh. So she drew first blood for sure.
He called the police specifically saying, he's got a knife, and okay. But, like, she started the knife. I don't know.
She did start the knife fight. And like I said, she drew first blood.
She drew first blood. And I just did the thing again. she drew first blood, and I just don't like narcs.
That's fair.
Guys, I don't support domestic violence. I feel like this is a long thing, right? Now I feel pro-domestic violence, and I'm not.
We can just start over this part again. Do you want to just start this part over again?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, it's if there's violence, you call the police. Anyway,
you better call the cops.
Call the police all the time.
So then he's like, "Shit, the cops are coming!" And he grabs a baby. And goes to leave, and Skyler's like, "Please don't take the baby." Mm. And he's like, "Bye." And then he just rams back and hits her whatever Chevy out into the street and drives away. And she's like, shit, that baby's gone.
Ah, fuck. I really wanted that baby.
I like that baby.
Damn it. Now I gotta get another baby.
And she's like, but that one was all broken in. I liked that one.
It was shitting when I wanted it to shit.
I knew it. Well, it shits when it wants to shit. But babies
don't get in a shitting schedule?
Oh, no, they do.
Okay.
But you can't, it's not up to you.
I get pictures from, now a recurring segment on the show is, what's on with Lady Baby? I keep getting pictures from my brother and my sister-in-law of, like, them holding the baby over a sink, like, guess who pissed and shit herself, and now we have to give her an impromptu bath.
You have received more than one of those?
I've seen a couple.
Where you kind of like, yeah, we get the point.
No,
you
know, it sounds like it's just cute.
It sounds like they're using too small a diapers on her.
And they might be.
They should bump it up. If, like, the poops are going up her back, she needs a bigger size of diaper.
Did you hear that, guys? Listen to it, Meg. She has a 7 and a 9-year-old. She knows her shit.
I literally and figuratively.
But also, my sister-in-law is an OBGYN.
To be fair, that doesn't make her great with babies.
You hate my sister-in-law. Jesus, you've never met her.
I hate most people I haven't met. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I agree.
I'm going to say her name is Claudia. And no, it's not.
Couldn't be. I don't think you got a single letter right. No, there's an L. I don't want to say her name.
Okay. So Claudia.
Her name's Ellen.
Ellen?
Yeah.
DeGeneres?
No.
Oh, are you sure?
No. I checked.
Okay, that's fair.
I met her. She said, hi, I'm Ellen. I go, show me your ID. I checked, and it said,
not
Ellen, not DeGeneres.
Yeah.
And I said, okay.
Fine.
Got excited for a second. I handed it back.
That's fair. Anyways, I don't know what happens next in that episode. Do they call the cops are there, or is he hanging out with the baby?
I'm not even going to look at the thing. He drives away. Oh, I think that's when they cut to Jesse in the sad pit.
Oh, the pit. This is maybe the first time we see the pit. I'm not sure. This is the first time in the episode we see the pit. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Jesse got the shit kicked out of him, which is terrifying.
It seems like you say the phrase terrifying in relation to Jesse a lot.
He's gone through like two of the things that are two of my biggest fear. One, getting the shit kicked out of me and like not being able to stop, like having no chance.
Yeah.
That's one of them. And then two, being incarcerated when I didn't do anything wrong.
Okay, fair.
And he's not technically incarcerated, but like kidnapped and a slave.
Yeah.
So my one fear is like having it happen by the law. And being, like, put in life in prison and not having done anything.
Fair.
And have to, like, work your way through that appeals process.
It seems like
a fucking nightmare. but then, also, what Jesse's going through is the scariest thing I can imagine.
Fair. Yeah, you see him in the pit, and he's, like,
He's like, oof, just rough like, Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Papa needs a happy hour. And then, Todd comes back and he starts freaking out because I think he thinks he's going to get his ass kicked again. Mm-hmm. But when he gets up top, they kind of take him into a hangar, and that's where the meth lab is. And that's where I think this is the first time he sees the setup where he's, you know, chained to a cable.
He's on his little leash.
Yeah. And he's now expected to cook meth. But Todd's going to do it with him.
Yeah.
So
Todd's going to be his buddy.
I don't know their relationship up until now. It seems
like. Well, we know how it ends.
Yes.
Jesse strangles him.
Yeah. But I don't know how they met, if they just met at like a party and they were bros.
They met at a mixer.
Yeah. And then, or like, were they on the same improv team?
Wait, I thought you didn't read ahead.
I didn't read ahead.
They're on the same fucking improv team.
Oh my God. Yeah. What's it called? Urethra Franklin
it's
or something?
It's called Urethra Franklin.
Damn it.
Yeah. And they both, yeah, there's a whole sub. They work really hard to make a Herald team, and Jesse makes one and Todd does it.
Oh my God.
And it almost breaks their relationship up.
Oh my, does he move out to LA first and then?
Yeah, and then he goes back and he makes that Herald team.
And then, okay. Yeah.
Wow, we brought up Harold teams twice in a row. Two episodes in a row.
So, yeah, now is that the end of Jesse's?
Yes, I think that's all the Jesse. Oh, we see that picture.
Oh, yes, you do see the picture mm-hmm. of the lady and the boy. And he's, like, really weirded out. It's as though, I guess this part is lost, that, like, the drama of this scene is lost on me. Because, like, I think it's like, wow, this is bizarre and effed up. But I'm like, he's always existed in this hangar.
Oh, yeah, like, for you, Jesse's like, Jesse's the meth slave.
Yeah.
That's his arc.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
So I think this scene was, like... it had the music as though it was supposed to be unsettling and like, wow, this is so unnerving. But to me, it was just like, yeah, this is home.
That whole sequence from him in the pit to him to the end of that is one of the most unsettling things I've ever seen. Really? That scene legitimately terrifies me.
I mean, from my perspective.
I think it would, even if I didn't have the context, just the music and like, the terror of asking it to stop and then it not stopping when Jesse's like when Todd comes in and he's like no, I can't tell you anymore, like that stuff, like that freaks me out, like torture scenes or anything like that.
Sure, yeah. I guess there's something that is innately weird about how Todd is just like, now we cook meth.
Now we cook, yeah. That's
Like he doesn't have any of the... He's like so emotionally stunted. Mm-hmm. It's pretty bizarre.
So, okay, then we got Walt changes Holly's diaper and she says, mommy.
Yeah, and that made me... want to nurse some babies. Yeah, that makes me sound weird. I want to help the babies when they're sad.
Well, you've had two babies who I assume at some point said, mommy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No one's ever called me that.
That's fair. I could get the kids to call you that if you want.
Please don't.
Okay.
That would be horrible. No. Please don't do that.
It's nice when they call me mama. I like that.
If they call me it, I go to jail.
That's fair. I wanted to help that baby, and it seemed like Walt realized that he wasn't going to be able to take care of a little baby.
They kind of cribbed from Liar Liar. Have you seen Liar Liar?
Not in a long time.
Well, so the premise of that movie is he can't tell a lie.
Yeah.
For 24 hours.
And he's a lawyer.
And he's a lawyer, yeah. And then there's one part where he's talking to his ex-wife, and he goes, you know what? I'm a bad father. And, like, he realizes he couldn't have said that if it was a lie. And he's like, oh, I'm a bad father. Mm. And so that, I think Breaking Bad kind of ripped that scene off here because he was just like, oh, I'm a bad father.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It seemed really inspired by Jim Carrey.
Yeah. And I was like, for a very fun original show, this was the only time where I thought, like, okay, if you're going to steal well, like hide it. But this is like almost word for word, that scene from Liar Liar.
And then we go back to the house, right? Where Skylar and Flynn are.
Yeah, narking it up.
They are telling everybody everything.
Yeah.
And, well, actually, they're not really narking. They're trying to find Holly. And they're putting out, like,
fucking narking.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And they're putting out, like, APBs left and right. APBs.
We call them narc PBs.
Narc PBs. Mm-hmm. And then Walt calls.
Mm-hmm. Now, they briefly mentioned this call at the beginning of the last episode we watched. Do you remember?
Yes. And so I was waiting for this call. And so initially, I was a little confused. God, why do I even bother saying that?
The point is for you to be confused.
So initially, I was like, oh, is this that call they're talking about? And he's such a dick.
He's a mean
But then I think that, like, so you had brought up in the scene where she chases the car, how she got nominated for, like, best actress for this episode.
I don't know if it was for this episode. I think it was.
Well, I thought that this scene in particular, not necessarily where she's chasing the baby, but this one where she's, like, trying to decipher mm-hmm. what he's communicating to her was, she did a really good job by not having to say much.
She's a really good actress. I like her a lot. Anna Gunn is her name.
But yeah, it wasn't clear at first that he, like, for all I know, he is awful to her all the time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Cause you've not seen him with her really, except for in Dire Straits.
So I was kind of like, oh, he's being an asshole again.
Well, we got to see a little bit of him when it's going good at the beginning.
But even then that felt contrived to me.
Well, yeah. Cause he's lying.
Yeah, fair. But she didn't seem like all that, like, I'm excited. My husband's calling me. She's like, oh, I sold some ugly clown statue or something.
People like different stuff.
I don't know. She just, like, I don't know. Also, I didn't realize their age differential until now.
Yeah, he's a lot older than her.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. But why?
Because true love finds a way.
I just don't think that's true.
They're in love.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
What is love?
I think love.
Yes.
It's like that feeling where you're both eating a meal.
Yeah.
And you both want to ask each other if you can have a bite of their meal because it looks really good. And love is when you ask at the same time. And that's what love is.
Then you say yes at the same time.
You go yes and you laugh. And you laugh because you're like, of course they want a bite. And I want a bite of them. And I want to keep taking bites with them forever. I think that's what love is.
I think that love is...
I'm getting close if you're going to do the love.
Okay. I think that love is... when it's cold in the Midwest, but you have a Subaru that has seat warmers, and then you forgot you left your Subaru seat warmers on when you turned off the car the last time, and then you forgot like that they were already on, and then you put your car on, and it's cold for a little bit, but then like after not too long, it's actually warm, but you didn't realize it until you're already all the way warm.
That's what love is.
That's
what fucking love is.
Yeah.
If you're married right now and you don't feel either of those things,
get a divorce.
You're not in fucking love.
Yeah. You should be warm and full.
Warm and full.
All the time.
And if you want a bite, just ask. Because they want a bite too. Okay.
All right. Okay.
Where was we?
The call.
The call. Yeah, but he's like crying during it. So that's why you could, there's a little bit like, oh, there's a little bit of that. Because this is just a very good episode of TV. The first call was contrived, you thought, right?
The beginning of the call? Yes.
This one was kind of contrived in just a very different way.
Yes.
Which I thought, cool.
So their motivations for contriving it are different.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've actually never thought about that before.
Yeah. Well, now, oh, so is this almost fulfilling for you in a different way?
This is fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true. This does revolve a lot around phones. This episode in general revolves way more around phones than any of the other ones.
But he calls her the B word.
And it's like, unforgettable, never again.
Yeah. And then he... Okay, sorry. I hope you guys like that appetizer, because now we're about to get to the main course. Because where does he go after the phone call?
Oh,
He takes the baby.
Oh, and he goes to... the number one hunk capital of the world. Give me a taste.
All you can eat hunk buffet. I want that fireman. Ooh, I got a fire in my pants.
Oh, shit, girl.
Yeah, Hunk Central USA. They're playing chess, so they're smart. Some of them are eating dinner because they need to fuel those muscles.
For protection for me. Those muscles are to help me.
They need those muscles for my libido.
Anyway.
So
one is just doing bicep curls on the counter. Fuck, and then out of nowhere, the lights go on in one of the trucks. And you can see they all share a look like, oh no, the Spectre is back. And they're like, they send out the hunkiest with the biggest biceps to go
so fucking strong.
Fight the invisible Spectre. He's got
an axe.
And he's like, I will find you.
And he's like, for my dead wife!
This is for you, Karen!
Yeah, oh, and God.
I melted. I melted all over my body.
Mm-hmm.
And it was glorious. But
from earlier when we said you should be watching along, because this scene does kind of go fast. Rewatch it. I guarantee you won't remember it. You'll be like, oh, it is kind of like they're describing it.
Yeah, it is. This is as jam-packed with subtle acting as the scene before it.
Yeah.
Goes me.
But it's not the Spectre.
It's not the Spectre. It's a little baby.
Little baby with the on principle.
And she is having a rough day.
Yeah, she's pissed.
Yeah, she's been crying a lot. And I heard the way they make babies cry on cue in movies and TV shows is to smack them with a... hit them with a rubber band. To slap them. I don't know. What do you call that? Snap them with a rubber band? No. I don't know if that's true. How do you freak out a baby when it's on set? Write in. Tell us. Leave a comment. I think it's...
We should know this.
Yeah, as we're in the business.
And we're in the business. I'm not in the business of babysitting.
That's
when I'm on set and there's a baby, I go, ugh, someone handle this. And then I walk away.
And that baby, though she's sad at first, immediately smiles when she sees those strong arms of the hunky.
Strong arms. Babies get it.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I feel safe
babies
now.
Babies go, he can provide.
It's such a... such a good scene.
She thought it was the best scene of anything I've ever fucking seen.
There's so many hunks.
So, because like, knowing he could provide for that baby made me more horny.
Yeah. But you compartmentalized it.
You compartmentalized it because I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
I forgot. I need to clean up Meg's floor because I just dumped a bunch of water on myself.
Because you needed to settle down.
I had an ice bucket and I was like, I need this right now.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem soon. So we should figure that out.
So this is, if you haven't figured out, by far the horniest episode so far.
So far.
Yeah.
The first episode was really horny because of the tom-tom.
Yeah, really horny.
But this one was like way hornier.
This one, it's like they took it as a challenge. Like you thought, yeah, horny before. We're going to ramp it up to the next level.
This is barely going to be allowed on television because of how horny it is. I'm
very surprised they didn't have to blur anything out in this episode.
Because of all the hunks.
All the hunks. Oh, my God. That should have just been one big blur.
I can't believe that was... they didn't have to pay so many fines. And maybe they did and they just didn't care.
I bet
care.
They just said, fuck it. And we're going to pay all these fines. We don't care. We're just going to flash our dicks on television. And I know there isn't any actual dicks in the scene.
But it's implied in a way that's very real. Like, was forced to imagine dicks, but I'm not upset about it.
Oh, I was not forced. I was invited.
I was led willingly to imagine dicks.
Oh, God.
Which is a lot like Imagine Dragons.
Did I ever imagine them?
And it was glorious. And then what else happens?
So we're going to wrap up here. then he calls a guy from the last day. He calls Robert Forster.
I thought it was Forrest Whitaker.
He called Forrest Whitaker.
You're right.
No, I fucked up his name.
Yeah.
Robert Forster is the guy from Fast Times at Richmond High.
And Forrest Whitaker
is the guy from Jackie Brown. Right?
I don't know. It's
wrong, but for the bit, it's right.
Okay, thank you.
Robert Forster's the one from Rogue One. Okay, got it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Robert Forster's in Rogue One.
Yeah.
Got it. Robert Forster, rest in peace, died very recently.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. He's a great actor.
So that van from the beginning of the last episode shows up, and he just gets in the front seat and drives away, which I was surprised by because at the beginning of the last episode, Bob Odenkirk's like in the back of the van hiding with his luggage.
Yeah.
And this time they just are like, oh, he's the most modern man in America. Get in the very front of this old...
He probably kept his head down.
You think so? Because he didn't seem to be trying to hide anything. Also, it begs, like, how do they know how to contact this guy? I don't know.
I guess we might find out. Maybe they'll set that up. And if you want to find out every week when we drop an episode, you should like this.
And subscribe.
And subscribe. You should turn that subscribe button what, Meg?
Gray.
Turn it gray.
Or whatever color it is right
Whatever color it is right now.
If you haven't subscribed, you should touch it. And then whatever color it becomes, we would like it to stay that color, the second color.
And if it's not gray, I need you to get out that magic marker.
Just color on your computer screen.
Color that your computer screen gray. We like gray subscribe buttons. Meg, what would you give? I know it's hard to give these a ranking. What would you give this episode? Is it great?
I mean, this felt like a good B+ to me.
B plus.
You want me to give it an A? I'll give it an A.
No. I know. Just give it an A. But I feel like
I'm hard to please. I don't know. I also.
I was like, so much happened.
There was jam packed, but I felt confused.
That's true. It's going to be hard to get past that to that A threshold when so much of it is you going, all right, where are we?
Yeah.
Which is inherently the challenge of this whole project.
So if you're looking to...
I'm not, no.
Get an A out of me, I guess we got to watch more.
We'll watch more. Well, there will be A's.
Yeah.
I like that because last episode I liked, but it was a little slow.
It wasn't as horny,
and it was just him being sad.
There was one horny part in the last episode where Bob Odenkirk was on screen, and I like him a lot.
Well, you just think, yeah, you and I just getting horny when he's on screen.
It's like a baseline
thing. Yeah, I don't count that, because the show didn't do any work there.
Yeah, he's just there looking good.
The show didn't dress him up like all honk, like all those firemen.
He's just horned as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's...
Oh, he wasn't in this episode.
No, but his name was, and I was like, oh, I'm about to get, like, next level.
Yeah.
And then he didn't show up, and I didn't think that was right.
That's sad.
Yeah. Maybe he was in the scene and got cut or something. Why would his name be on screen? I'm so confused.
Well, he's a regular.
That's not how that works.
Is it not? I thought it's just if you're in the regular cast, you get...
Really? I don't know. I thought it was, like, whoever is in the episode that uh-huh. episode. I don't know.
Uh-huh. I mean, we should know.
Yeah, because we're in the biz.
Because we're in the business. All right. Well, a good Heisenberg
to you all, fair listeners.
Bye. Bye.